I'd like to write the subject on the board this morning. I've written on the board, lame at the temple. I'm thankful this morning once again to be able to share the hope of the gospel. I'm thankful today that in the midst of what feels like unprecedented times, times of trouble, times of unexpected change, we serve a God and Father, as we've mentioned so many different times here, that remains unchanged. We serve a God that's alive. A God that is still willing to come into our midst. He's still willing and able and at work, working in people's lives for good. And I'm so thankful for that today, and I want to encourage us this morning. I feel like that the message is to Christians. This message is to God's people. That we would refocus our eyes on Jesus Christ and look to Him with expectation and recognize that He is still a God with undiminished power. I'd like to read out of the third chapter of Acts this morning. Acts 3 and 1 says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." What a beautiful account this morning that we have read. A complete reversal of fortune for this lame man. A story of a man that went from discouragement. Have you ever been discouraged? This is a story of a man that went from discouragement to joy. From bondage to freedom. From resignation to a hopeful outlook on life. And there seems to be so many applications, some gems, some real gems in this story for us. Direct application in our lives this morning. I'd like to think today about the lame man. Folks, many a soul daily approaches life with resignation, with hurt, with fear, with uncertainty that is often not described to others. Many a soul approaches life daily with the absence of fulfillment, Many a soul faces life daily with fear. Said in another way, many a soul approaches life daily lame, looking for hope, looking for purpose in life ahead. Well, souls most often are not physically carried to the street corner and deposited as beggars. Some are, but most of the time, and we've said this numerous times here as well, more often those that are lame appear generally vigorous, put together, a smile properly on their face. We as humans often do the best that we know how to do to present ourselves as, for the most part, not defeated, but rather on top of things. And yet, I believe that the majority of the population in the world, to varying degrees, including church-going people, are searching for the ultimate answer. And they're not finding it. They're not finding it. You look around you at all levels of society. Look around you in the church world. There is pain. There is suffering. There is so much drifting. There is an absence of happiness, unfulfilled lives. And yet people are searching continually every day. And we too can search and not find. Those of us that are here this morning, we can search and not find because often we tend to search and we look in the wrong places to fulfill the real need that we have in our lives, in our hearts, and in our souls. Often we fail to recognize that Jesus is not just part of the answer, but He is the answer. Jesus is the answer to all of the things and all of the problems and all of the struggles that we have in life. Jesus is the answer. And if you'll bear with me, I'm going to repeat this, probably will more than once, but I remember to the teenagers here this morning, I remember when I was a teenager and looking out, I was an older teenager. I was, you know, approaching the end of, I might have been out of high school. And I was looking out ahead in life, and here's the way that I thought about it. And I was saved. I loved the Lord. I wanted to serve the Lord with all my heart as a teenager. But I remember thinking, you know, if I can just get married, when I get married, then I can pretty much face anything that comes along. It'll pretty much, you know, kind of be the answer. I'll have a companion, I'll have a soulmate, I'll have a best friend, and whatever I have to face in life, well, she'll be there right beside me, and everything else, the waves will just kind of, will knock the top off of the waves, and the edge off the hard places will be blunted. Well, that's kind of what I thought. Well, look, I did get married, and she is my best friend, and we face life together, and she does help blunt the edges of those things that are sharp and that hurt in life. But you know, getting married isn't the answer to all of life's needs and soul's needs. I found that out. Well, if I could just be married and if I could just, you know, have a stable job, get a good job, be married, have a job, then, you know, I can just kind of rest a little bit. And yeah, troubled times will come, but I'll have a steady source of income and I'll be married and then everything maybe be all right. Well, so I got married and the Lord blessed me and had a relatively pretty good job. And then it was, you know, I'm starting to have a young family, and if I could just get a respectable car now, a vehicle, you know, and this all happened pretty close together. Well, I got a respectable vehicle in my mind. My children might take exception to using the word respectable, but I liked my van, and it got us where we needed to go, and it held everybody in the vehicle, and it was reliable, and so I was married and I had a decent job and I had a place to live and a vehicle that got me around. But you know what? Then it was, you know, my family's grown. If I had just a little bit larger place, I don't need anything fancy, just a little bit more room, then we could just kind of get on with life and things would be better. Are you getting the trend here? I probably don't need to go any further. This trend can go on and on and on in people's lives from their teenage years all the way until their last dying day, when all of a sudden they realize, I never arrived. You know why? It's because even though those things are important and they're good, God wants us to be able to have a companion that sticks by our side. That's good. It's okay to have a place to live. It's okay to have a decent job. It's okay to have a respectable vehicle, you know, a dependable vehicle. That's okay. But if we're not careful in life, we can begin to start feeling like that the answer to whatever vacancy we fill is obtained by temporal things. And it's not. And I'll tell you what's worse. When you approach your wife and your job, yes, and your car, without Jesus involved, you end up getting married to the wrong person. You end up living in the wrong place. You end up buying a vehicle that you had no business buying, and it caused you all kinds of trouble later because you couldn't afford it in the first place. Because all this time you felt like you could compartmentalize Jesus and Christianity and your relationship with Him and the temporal needs that we do have in life. And we can feel like that the anxiety and the distress or the uncertainty or the lack of fulfillment that we feel will be answered completely and solely by these temporal things in life. And they don't. They never have. And yet people in the world seek after these things and they never find it. And you picked up on the trend. Once you get those things and you, right about the time you get to the top where you had everything you thought earlier on was going to kind of be it and set you, you realize, you know what, I need just a little bit more. You know, if I could just have a little bit extra of this temporal thing. If I could just make a little bit of change over here. But that's not the answer. What we need is a focused, consistent diet of Jesus Christ. That's what we need. It's not cliche to say that. Well, when you go to church, that's what you expect. You expect people to say, well, you need Jesus. And everybody says, well, I know we need Jesus. We've heard that all of our lives. We say, well, you need to involve the Lord in your life. And Christians that have a desire to serve the Lord, we say, well, I know that I need God in my life. What? That isn't anything new. And then we go right out the back door and as Christians, perhaps some of us that are here this morning, we go right out and immediately face the struggles of the world and forget all about involving Jesus with the temporal things of life, and then we find that we don't ever get fulfilled. If we have Jesus within us, which is His design, then He wants to go with you in all areas of life. In all things.
whatever it is. Jesus wants to face those things with you. He wants to help us make good decisions on the temporal things of life and the spiritual things of life. Recognizing, get a hold of this, the temporal things of life can affect you spiritually if you don't have Jesus with you when you make those decisions. We can make the worst temporal decisions in life and make it very difficult for us spiritually because we approached it without Jesus. And so the thing that we thought was separate from our relationship with God, here's my relationship with God over here, and I go to church and I pray to Him and I want to be saved and I want to be at peace and I believe in the blood and the cross. But now over here I have some of these other things that need to be attended to. I need to take care of those and check those boxes off. Jesus is the box that needs to be checked. It's a big box. And everything else fits in there. Yet sometimes I think we're slow to learn this lesson. The lame man saw Peter and John and he recognized, I think, an opportunity to help ease the discomfort of his day. And he asked for a temporary band-aid, if I can say it that way. He asked for some alms, some money. Well, there's nothing wrong with money in of itself. There wasn't anything wrong with looking for something that might help him. But that was not going to change his life. If he were able to get some alms, the people that came by and gave him money, all that was going to do was maybe relieve a little bit of the pressure of the day. But he didn't need that. He needed a life change. The lame man needed a life change, not a day change. Not a change for the hour. The lame man needed a life change. Folks, people out in the world need a life change. Now I want to take it closer. People here at church, we need a life change. We can be saved, but there can be areas in our lives that are unfulfilled, that we struggle, that give us trouble in life. And we search in all of the wrong areas. We need a life change in those areas. And money and the alms is not what was going to answer the question and the problem. And often that's what we do. We will grab for a distraction that looks appealing, but then it soon loses its luster and we're on looking for something else. Always a little more. Always something else. When really what we need, Christians, church family, what we really need is we need a life change by receiving something that only Jesus Christ can give us. And I want to pause again and say this again. This is to Christians. This message this morning is not just to the world. We could title the message this morning, Look to Jesus, and we'd look at that and we'd say, well, we know we're supposed to look to Jesus. And we zone right back out. Well, we've heard that message before, look to Jesus. That isn't anything new. We know Christians are supposed to look to Jesus. And we kind of sit back down and we'll get through the message and it probably applies to somebody who's not looking to Jesus because I'm a Christian and I look to Jesus. Do you look to Jesus in everything? Do we involve Him as Christians, or do we get caught, as so many do, looking to ourselves and our own strength and our own solutions for the things that Jesus is right there and wants to try to help us with? The Scripture said that the lame man looked on them expecting to receive something. What was he expecting to receive? Was he expecting to receive a life change? No. That's not what he was expecting. He just looked up there and he was expecting something to help him out for the day. He didn't even expect something that was going to help him for next year, maybe even next week. He's just trying to get through the day. Saints, the Lord has something more for us than just getting us through the day. And we live our lives sometimes just trying to get through the day. And the Lord wants to do something special for us. He said He looked on them expecting to receive something. What are we looking for today? What are you looking for this morning? How is your time? How is your energy spent? What are you expecting to receive? What do we as Christians? We say we're Christians, and we are. We love the Lord. But what does our expectations look like? I wonder if we were to make a list. What are we expecting of the Lord? I wonder what the list would look like. Would we get done with the list and when we read through it and begin to analyze it, do you think that it would be consistent in looking for things that rise to the level of what God is able to provide? Or are we looking for things that a lot of times we think we can provide on our own? We just haven't quite got there yet. How do you feel today? Are we fulfilled in all areas? Or are there places? Is there a ball that we drag it around with us all of the time? We drag it into church. We have to sit in our pew and kind of pull that chain and that ball up next to us. And when we sing, we have to arrange it around that weight that we carry around. And after a gospel message, we go out the back door and there that ball and chain is. We're carrying it with us and we drag it back out. And maybe our request is that God gives us strength to carry the ball and the chain. Listen, God is not going to take us out of all difficult situations in life, but He can change our heart. He can change the way we think. He can give us power that we never believed was available. But we don't look to Him for that so many times. Frankly, I think a lot of us, we experience times when we search for greater meaning in life. And that's okay. That's part of growing in grace and maturing as people. We get to different stages in our lives and we look to the Lord and look inward and want to make sure that we find the right meaning in life. But I think that often we look in the wrong places. And I didn't say that we seek after things that are sinful, although people do that too. I just mean that often we're looking in the wrong places and we're looking for fulfillment in the wrong things that ultimately aren't going to meet the need of our lives. Peter gave the man his full attention and he said he fastening his eyes upon him with John. So he dialed in to the man that needed help and he asked him that he could have his full attention and he said, "Look on us." And it said that the man gave heed unto them expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Look, I don't have what you're probably thinking you want and thinking that you need. That's not what I have, but I do have something that I'm going to give you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he gave him something from the throne of grace. He gave the man something that went way beyond what the man ever thought to ask or think, because that was more consistent with what the power of God has to provide. He changed his day, his life, not his day. You ever heard people say, they come by and they say, "Well, have a good day." We probably all told people that. Have a good day. I mean, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. But you know that the Lord wants to come along and He wants to do more than just say, "I want you to just have a good day." Jesus Christ wants to come by and say, "Have a good life." The Lord wants to come by and say, "I have what you need so that you can have a good life." He wants our full attention today. And I don't think that we give Him full enough attention. May God help us to focus on Him and search out what He has for us. I think a lot of times we think we know what we need. We say, well, it's not Jesus that I need right now. I already have Jesus. What I need is a higher paying job. That's what I need right now. I got Jesus. I'm saved. I got that. But what I really need is a higher paying job. Or I really need my companion to change. My companion needs to change. I got Jesus. I love the Lord. I'm endeavoring to be saved. But what I need is, I need this person to change. Or I don't like the way I look. And I'm carrying that through my life. I'm saved. I got Jesus. But I got this other problem. I don't like how I look. Or this situation, this environment that I'm in, this troubled person. What I really need is for that to go away. I'm saved. I love the Lord. I got that taken care of. But what I really need for my life to be fulfilled is I need this situation to go away. Don't we think like that sometimes? We can get caught thinking like that. And then what we do is we quickly turn to our own strength to take care of it. I want to try to change my spouse. I'm going to try to get that higher paying job. I'm going to try to change my looks. And we can't. That we're so ready to look inward to our own strength, thinking that, well, I think this is something I'm supposed to take care of. And we don't even consider sometimes the fact that Jesus Christ would like to have something to say about it. You remember when, and don't get me wrong here, I don't stand in judgment of Peter, maybe like when I was young and hear these stories and think, oh, Peter, why would he do something like that? I mean, he sank and he cut off the man's ear and he denied Jesus and he said the wrong thing on the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, what was he thinking? He was thinking just like most of us think. That's how he was thinking. Peter standing right beside the one that has raised the dead to life. Fed the multitudes with some loaves and some fishes. Healed the lame men. Had power over all of the things that came against them. And Peter saw this over and over and over again. And here they are facing a few soldiers. And what does Peter do? He turns to his own strength and pulls the sword out and whacks the guy. Well, he got his ear. I don't think that's what he was aiming at. But he got the guy's ear. In his own strength, and he didn't stop and say, Lord, what do you think about this? We've got these people coming after us. What do you think we should do here? No, his immediate reaction was to turn to his own way of thinking, which is exactly what we do so much of the time. He'd have been better off by asking the Lord, Lord, what do you think? As opposed to the Lord saying, Peter, put up your sword. And happened to reach down and put the man's ear back on. Could have saved all that trouble. When they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, what happens? This glorious thing happens. This thing that was way outside of anything Peter could ever drum up. But Peter's got the answer. Oh, I know what I can do. Here's a good idea. Let's just build temples for all three of you. And when Peter got done talking and finally was quiet, a voice came from heaven that said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. He has the answer. The sword wasn't the answer. Peter didn't have the answer. And most of the time, neither do we have the right answer. Jesus Christ has the answer. It's not cliche. It's not, well, we know Jesus Christ has the answer. No. The Lord wants us to understand and internalize this morning that whatever it is we're dealing with, the Lord wants to be involved with it. He is the only one that can bring abundant life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I can't trade for it. I can't buy it. I can't earn it. It only comes from Jesus Christ. That's the only place it comes from. What causes us to be lukewarm Christians when we know better? I'm not saying anyone here is a lukewarm Christian. I'm speaking in general terms. Jesus Christ said in Revelations, he said, y'all, the church at Laodicea said, you're lukewarm. People thought they were strong. They thought, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I don't have need of anything. I got it. I'm saved. I know Jesus Christ. I've got it figured out. And the Lord came along and said, you're lukewarm. Don't you know that you have need? That I'm the answer for. And we have Jesus Christ right by our side, and yet often the enemy gets us to quickly look inside to try to figure out how to take care of whatever it is our problem is. The Lord specializes in getting to the root cause of whatever it is that we're struggling with. He knows how to help us so that we don't have to keep changing the Band-Aid. He knows how to help us so the water doesn't cause the Band-Aid to slip off and then we have to go get another Band-Aid to try to put on. He knows how to help us so that that wound doesn't have to become infected and it just lives with us all the time. And yet I think we can get caught in a rut. It's human nature. We get caught in these ruts where we tend to look inward to figure out how to go forward. Or it's human nature to feel like, well, this is just my lot in life. And so I'm just going to be resigned. I'm going to have to live this way for the whole rest of my life in this rut. And it's human nature often to think that when we get in some of these places, that it's all up to me to get out of the rut. That yes, I love the Lord and I'm a Christian, but this is something that somehow I'm going to have to get out of. And that's false. The enemy will do that to keep us discouraged. The Lord wants to do something special for Christians in their lives. He may not always take us out of the situation. So, well, I pray the Lord didn't take me out of the situation. He didn't for Paul either. He said, I had a thorn in my flesh. I looked to the Lord 3 times and he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. God can change your perspective. God can change situations, and he has many times in my life done exactly either the temporal, the spiritual, physical, whatever it was, made a change, a tangible change. And there's been other times when I looked to the Lord and he didn't change the situation, but he got me out of the rut of how I was thinking about it. I remember being called to go to work one time with a bad thing that had happened, hazardous situation, and one of those things where, you know, your heart starts pounding and you get this bad feeling in the pit of your stomach and you gotta, you know, drive ahead of you and you're thinking about all kinds of things and the potential consequences and, well, I'd like the whole situation to go away. But I was driving in to work after hours and I was praying to the Lord, and I'm telling you, the peace of God came down in that car. He did not change the situation, but he completely changed my approach. Completely took away the fear. Gave me a peace that passed all understanding. And I got there and there was a problem, but we worked through it. And the Lord gave a peace that is difficult to describe to those that have not experienced the peace of God before. That's God. He wants to be involved with the things that we are faced with in life. Temporal things. If we'll let him. We need to redirect our eyes. Let's focus on Jesus. The scripture says, and we quote it many times, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth. The scripture said, I will lift up mine eyes. Who's he talking about when he says I? Is he just talking about the person that's in, you know, the beggar that's stuck somewhere out here on the road? No, he's talking about me, and he's talking about you, and he's talking about those that regularly come to the temple. And I want to conclude with this. The title of the message this morning is Lame at the Temple. And I was struck with this. I guess I've never thought about this before when I was studying for this message this morning. This man was at the temple daily, over and over and over again. He was at the temple. And he only got help, even though he was at the temple. He only got help when he lifted up his eyes and made contact with the power of Jesus Christ. I wonder today if this applies to any of us this morning. How many people come to the temple, come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, lame? Every Sunday we come to the temple, and every Sunday we go away pretty much like we were when we came. That is sad to me. I don't think that it is what God intends for us. The Lord wants us to come before His presence, and He wants us to look up and fasten our eyes on Him and allow Him to give us the help and the strength that we need that will surpass all of our thoughts and all of our expectations. We look out into the world. We see people by the multitudes going to their place of worship. Lame. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And it doesn't have to be that way. May God help us today to be still, as the psalmist said, and know that I am God. How often do we really get still? How often do we stop in our activity? We're going to rush to church. We're going to rush to sing, rush to pray, rush to listen to the message, rush to get home. Oh, we check that box off and completely miss the power of the Almighty God. And we remain lame. The good news this morning is that the Lord wants us to be still and look up to Him for the help that we need. He is right for whatever is wrong in our life. If we focus more on the giver rather than the loaves and the fishes, that is where the answer is. And as Philippians 4:19 says, the giver shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel. That is the hope of the gospel. That whether it's temporal, whether it's spiritual, physical, whatever it is, we don't have to be as the man that sits lame at the temple Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, knowing we should be at the temple, but then we go away the same person that came. I know things take time. I know sometimes the Lord works and He has mercy on us, and we have to learn things, and we don't just get all of our answers just immediately and overnight. But I believe this beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if we will look up with expectation, if we will be slower to look to our own strength and quicker to trust and look to Jesus Christ, the giver of all good things, with expectation, that He can do some things special for us in life. I trust these words have been an encouragement to you this morning. Pray for me, because I want to be true. Amen.